Hi everyone, welcome to our daily devotionals. Today we'll be reading Mark chapter 15, and as always, I want to encourage you to open up your Bible or your Bible app and follow along with me as we read today's chapter on Jesus' journey to the cross. Let's read Mark 15. And as soon as it was morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. And they bound Jesus and led him away and delivered him over to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And he answered him, "You have said so." And the chief priests accused him of many things. And Pilate again asked him, "Have you no answer to make? See how many charges they bring against you." But Jesus made no further answer, so that Pilate was amazed. Now at the feast he used to release for them one prisoner for whom they asked. And among the rebels in prison, who had committed murder in the insurrection, there was a man called Barabbas. And the crowd came up and began to ask Pilate to do as he usually did for them. And he answered them, saying, "Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" For he perceived that it was out of envy that the chief priests had delivered him up. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him release for them Barabbas instead. And Pilate again said to them, "Then what shall I do with the man you call the king of the Jews?" And they cried out again, "Crucify him!" And Pilate said to them, "Why, what evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him!" So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. And the soldiers led him away inside the palace, that is, the governor's headquarters, and they called together the whole battalion. And they clothed him in a purple cloak, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on him. And they began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they were striking his head with a reed and spitting on him and kneeling down in homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him. And they led him out to crucify him. And they compelled a passerby, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross. And they brought him to the place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his garments among them, casting lots for them to decide what each should take. And it was the third hour when they crucified him. And the inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two robbers, one on his right and one on his left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "Aha, you who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." So also the chief priests with the scribes mocked him to one another, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him also reviled him. And when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, "Behold, he is calling Elijah." And someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down." And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly this man was a son of God." There were also women looking on from a distance, among whom were Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James, the younger of Joseph and Salome. When he was in Galilee, they followed him and ministered to him, and there were also many other women who came up with him to Jerusalem. And when evening had come, since it was the day of preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph Arimathea, a respected member of the council, who was also himself looking for the kingdom of God, took courage and went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate was surprised to hear that he should have already died. And summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he was already dead. And when he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the corpse to Joseph. And Joseph bought a linen shroud, and taking him down, wrapped him in the linen shroud, and laid him in a tomb that had been cut out of the rock. And he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid. Amen. In the beginning of our chapter, we see that Jesus is delivered to Pilate, and he was the Roman governor. And what's interesting is that in verse 16, we read that the whole battalion is called together in the governor's headquarters. You know, I learned that the presence of the whole battalion, which was about 600 men at full strength, assumes that Jesus is a rebel against Rome. They believed that Jesus was a rebel who was blaspheming, saying that he is a king. And so what happened? We read through the rest of the chapter that the soldiers dressed, mocked, and mistreated him as king of the Jews. They clothed him in a purple cloak. They crowned him with a crown of thorns. They saluted him in a mocking way. "Hail, King of the Jews." They struck his head with a reed. They knelt down in homage to him. And they even wrote, "King of the Jews," as a sign of the charge that was placed against him. You see, crucifixion was the final public deterrent to warn people not to rebel against Rome. And the chief priests believed that this was the best way to get rid of Jesus. And as Jesus was up on the cross, there were people who passed by him, wagging their heads and saying, "You said that you were going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. Why don't you save yourself and come down from the cross?" Little did they know that he was talking about his body. In Mark chapter 11, we read that Jesus was welcomed into Jerusalem with their cloaks and leafy branches laid out on the road. People were shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Save us, Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Save us, deliver us." Ironically, 4 chapters later, in Mark 15, that same Jesus is now being mocked, saying, "He saved others, yet he can't save himself." And even the two robbers who were crucified on his left and right, even they reviled him. Our passage today shows us that the manner by which they were seeking salvation was far from the kind of salvation that Jesus was offering. And the salvation that Jesus gives comes at the very cost of his own body and blood for our sins. There's one particular verse in Mark 15 that really kind of struck me, and I never really focused too much on this verse before, but verse 39 really stuck out to me. Verse 39 says, "And when the centurion who stood facing him, facing Jesus, saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, 'Truly this man was the Son of God.'" The centurion had gone through many, has seen many deaths of crucified criminals. He's seen many rebels come and go, crucified left and right. But when he saw the crucifixion of Jesus and how Jesus had breathed his last, there was something about the purity and the power of Christ in the way that Jesus had died that he saw that he truly is the Son of God. And for some reason, this filled me with a lot of encouragement and hope to know that even after all these people were mocking Jesus, were crucifying him, even shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him," there's still a way to know who Jesus is. There's still a way to have a relationship with God. And I truly believe that this centurion, in this moment, in split seconds after Jesus breathed his last, he was able to come to know who Jesus truly was, that he was the Christ, that he is the Christ, he is the Messiah, he is the saving one. And I truly believe, it doesn't give much more context here, but I think that the centurion came to believe that Jesus is the Christ. And so today I want to encourage us to remember what Jesus has gone through, the kind of salvation that he offers us, how It comes at the very cost of his own body and blood for our sins. And even those who had crucified him were given hope to believe and receive the free gift of eternal life. Even this centurion came to believe that Jesus truly is the Christ, the Son of God. And so let's continue to put our faith in Jesus. Let's also pray that those who we feel like maybe are far off from knowing Christ, that they would come to see the power of Jesus, the power of salvation, that they would know that he is the Christ, the Son of God, and that they would put their faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today and for reminding us of the journey that Jesus had gone through to get to the cross. Lord, it is a sobering reminder of the cost that Jesus paid so that our sins would be forgiven, that we would be washed like white as snow, and that we can have a relationship with you. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to respond with heart of worship, a heart of thanksgiving, a heart of obedience and faith, and that you would give us hope to believe that people in our lives, people in this world today, can still be able to see that you truly are the Son of God, that you are the Christ. We pray that more would come to know you, Jesus, that their spiritual eyes would be opened and see, Lord, that you are God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thanks for joining us in our daily devotional, and I hope that over this weekend you can continue to reflect and meditate on the crucifixion of Jesus and the implications of that in our own lives. Have a great weekend.